So the title of today's message is Saved or Sunk. And I meet a lot of people, and this might be you. I meet a lot of people who are sunk. Many have been sunk by their poor choices. Many have been sunk by fear. Many have been sunk by filling their minds with rubbish. Oh, that's a bad one to do. Few have been sunk by drugs and alcohol. But thank God that Jesus came to save sunk people. So if you've got that sinking feeling today, you're in the right place because God can save you. So we're just going to read a scripture. I've got a couple of scriptures. Matthew chapter 14 we're going to read. And we're going to read from 22 to 33. And I got it on the screen. So, and I also want to say, this is going to be the last Sunday I use font 14. We're going up to font 16 from this. Here we go. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell, while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting the heavy waves. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Then in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Now that's a good prayer to pray, everybody. Jesus immediately reached down and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Then they climbed back into the boat. The wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Isn't that a great story? It's a wonderful story. And the lake in this story, and I think most of you understand this, is the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is Israel's largest freshwater lake. It's 21 kilometers long by 13 kilometers wide. So this is a very big lake. And today, if you go there around some parts of the shore of the Sea of Galilee, you will see Australian gum trees growing there. How about that? That have been taken over there. But we're going to come back to that iconic story of Peter walking on water in just a moment. But I just want to read some other scriptures to you. We'll read them together. And these scriptures will help to create a bit of context for what we want to look at today. And then when we've looked at these scriptures, I've got a big question for everybody. So we'll see how smart you all are here today. Any smart people here today? Nobody's putting up their hand. Okay. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.'" And? Absolutely. How did God create the light? He spoke it, didn't he? He used the power of his word to create the light. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 14 says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. And so the Word became human and made His home among us." One more scripture, Revelations 19, 11 and 13. It says this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the..." His title was the Word of God. So here's the big question today. Can anybody in this room tell me who the Word of God is? Absolutely. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. That's important to remember. Jesus has many titles in the Bible. He has many names that are used to describe His character and, if you like, His job description. Jesus was called the Word of God before He was actually called Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and this is important, Jesus is God. The Apostle Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," as he worshipped Him. And everything in the entire universe was created through Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Bethlehem, everybody, was not the beginning of Jesus. For Jesus was right there at the creation of the heavens and the earth. Bethlehem was when Jesus Christ, the Word of God, became one of us. Jesus Christ is our Savior, but Jesus Christ is also the living Word of God. You know, we need to remember these things. So with that in mind, we're going to go back to that remarkable story of where Jesus and Peter, they walked on the water. So here we go. I'm going to just recap the story. Jesus actually, before they walked on water, he'd preached all day long, and he capped his day off by feeding the 5,000 with, how many loaves was it? Five loaves and two fish. So, you know, Jesus had a big day. Everybody had a big day. And then Jesus dismissed the crowd, and then he insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. I think the disciples presumed that Jesus would then would walk around the outside of the lake and catch them up later in the morning or the day after that. That's probably what was going on. However, when they had gone, Jesus actually went up into the hills to pray to God the Father. And Jesus wasn't really in a hurry to move along. So Jesus prayed into the night, and Jesus did that often. But then at some point, while he was praying, he's on the hills looking out onto the lake, he looked out of the lake and Jesus could see that the disciples were in serious trouble in the middle of the lake. And this wind had picked up, and that often happens on the Sea of Galilee. This wind had picked up and the waves were making it very difficult for his disciples to actually make any progress to where they wanted to go. Now you've got to remember, since the disciples were seasoned fishermen, They all knew the lake really well. They knew about the storms, but one would have to presume that if they were struggling, then it meant that it was very dangerous out on the water at that time. So that's the scene. So instead of Jesus walking around the lake and ignoring the disciples' bad situation, Jesus went to save them from the wind and the waves. But Jesus did not swim to them. Neither did Jesus look to hire another boat or to see if there was a boat around that he could use. Rather, Jesus Christ stepped onto the water and literally walked on the water all the way to them in the boat. And the wind and the waves that were buffeting the disciples had no effect at all upon Jesus Christ. At some point, the exhausted disciples saw Jesus walking towards them on the water, but they did not realize that it was Jesus. So they panicked. Who wouldn't panic? They were terrified. And the Bible actually says they shouted out. Really, what they did is that they screamed in fear because they thought Jesus was a ghost. They probably tried to row harder to go in the opposite direction to get away from the ghost. But you see, they couldn't get anywhere because the wind and the waves were buffeting them and hindering them. Now, according to my translation of the Bible, and I use the NLT version, which is an excellent version, but it says that Jesus shouted to the panicking disciples, and we have it on the screen there, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." But really, the correct translation of this verse should read, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am is here." That little correction is very, very important. I am is another title for God. It's the same title that God had used on occasion in the Old Testament to describe himself. It was a sacred title, and these Jewish disciples in the boat understood that title. The disciples understood that Jesus was shouting to them, "You guys, you don't need to be afraid of the waves, because God is here with you out on the lake." That's really what he was saying. It was not a ghost on the lake. It was God coming to rescue them. And that's what God does. God comes to rescue his people. Now the story gets really interesting. At that reassurance from Jesus, Peter then called out, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And I can imagine all the other disciples looking at Peter as if to say, "What? Are you serious, Peter? What an idiot. What is the matter with you? Why do you feel the need to do this?" And Peter hadn't thought about that. And before he had a chance to rethink and retract his statement to Jesus, Jesus then responded, and all Jesus said was, "Come." That's also the correct translation. My version says, "Yes, come." The "yes" is not meant to be there. It's "come," one word, "come." Jesus didn't say anything else. Please note, Jesus did not give Peter any tips or instructions on how to walk on water. He didn't say, "Be careful." He didn't say, "Well, the best of luck with that." He just said one thing. Jesus just said, "Come." And because Jesus invited him, Peter climbed over the side of the boat and he started walking on the water towards Jesus Christ. And those waves that had been buffeting the boat now no longer had any effect upon Peter. Peter was like Jesus. He was walking now in authority and power over those waves. Praise God. So how did Peter manage to walk on the top of the water? Well, the truth is, Peter was not actually walking on the water. He never was. It was not the water that was holding Peter up. That's what I'm trying to say. Rather, Peter walked on the word spoken to him by Jesus Christ. Somebody listening today? This is really important. Jesus Christ said directly to Peter, "Come." It was a specific word for Peter at that specific time. It was the living word of God to Peter. And Peter obeyed and he believed. And he believed that single word spoken to him. And consequently, he was supernaturally enabled to walk on the top of the water towards Jesus. It was the word. It was the word. It was the word spoken by Jesus that held and supported Peter up on top of the water, and it was not the water itself. It was miraculous, but that's what God does. He still does the miraculous. Amen. It was the great I Am, the sovereign word of God. He was the one out on the lake with the disciples that night. And you're in a storm, baby. But the great I Am is still with you out on the lake at night. The very same word of God that brought the universe into existence, who gave life to everyone, the very same one who has all the power and authority in heaven and on earth, it was that one. It was him who was out on the lake with the disciples. And Jesus Christ breathed the word, "Come," to Peter, and that word "come" carried the same authority, the same power that the words "let there be light" had carried thousands of years earlier. It was the same. So Peter walked on water by the power of that one word from Almighty God. There's power in the word of God. But however, you know, as Peter walked towards Jesus, what did he do? He looked around. What a mistake that was. He looked around and he noticed the size of these waves around him. They were big. They were intimidating. A little bit perhaps like our problems. And so Peter lost his focus on Jesus. Bad mistake. And instead he gave his attention to the wind and his attention to the waves that were around him. And then Peter became terrified. Then poor Peter had that sinking feeling. He really was beginning to sink. And the wind and the waves started to buffet him again. And the word of God was no longer holding him up. And then Peter shouted, "Save me, Lord, save me." I love that picture, by the way. Who's ever felt like that? Lord, save me. You're going to see an act of grace here. You know, that's a great prayer to pray when you got that sinking feeling. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and saved him, because he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Jesus said to Peter these profound words, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Ladies and gentlemen, I find that an amazing thing for Jesus to say that to Peter, because Peter was the only one game enough to step out of the boat in the first place. But the point that Jesus was making to Peter was that this, listen carefully, this is the point Jesus was making. He was saying basically to Peter, there was nothing wrong with that one word that had been spoken to you. There was nothing wrong with the word. Peter, you did not have to sink. No matter how big the waves were, you did not have to sink. The word spoken by Jesus was greater in power than those crashing waves. The truth is, that word "come," spoken to Peter by Jesus, had not run out of power. Indeed, the word "come" that Jesus spoke to him could have sustained Peter all night long. Peter actually could have walked all the way home on that one word from Jesus. He could have walked all the way home on the lake. There was nothing wrong with the word, but there was something wrong with Peter's faith. Peter's faith gave way to fear and unbelief. How often have we done that? As he focused on the storm around him, and then he sank. And that's because unbelief in God's word, the rejection of God's word, always sinks you. But faith in God's word always saves you and sustains you. It's better to be saved than sunk. And I nearly finished. In this amazing story, I've sort of nearly finished. Just a couple of pages. In this amazing story, really, this story is a picture of the daily battle that every follower of Jesus Christ experiences. It's really a picture of your battle, your daily battle that you experience. Those winds, we're actually in a constant faith versus unbelief battle every single day. Who knows what I'm talking about? Absolutely. Isn't that why the Apostle Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith"? Amen? Amen. But those winds and those waves in this wonderful story, they represent demonic powers. And demonic powers are real. Absolutely. And the demonic powers, they continually try to buffet and hinder the followers of Jesus. That's why life is often so hard. And perhaps even this week, you've been buffeted by the winds and waves of adversity. Interestingly, when Jesus went to the rescue of the disciples, he chose to walk on the water. Jesus was shown us that the demonic powers have no authority over him. And when Jesus called Peter out of the boat, Jesus was shown us that when we believe and obey his word, then we too are able to walk like Jesus in authority over the demonic powers that we wrestle with. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 91, "You will trample upon lions and cobras, you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet." Come on, come on. Yeah. Now, Jesus Christ has since ascended to heaven. We've read about that in the Bible. Jesus Christ has gone to heaven. And one day he's going to come back again. The Holy Spirit now lives in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God among us. But thank God that although Jesus ascended to heaven, we still have his word among us. Amen? You know this, but I'm deliberately wanting to remind everybody today, the Holy Bible is God's word among us today. The Bible is God's word for his people today. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. For the word of God is alive and powerful. This is talking about the Bible, everybody. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Jesus Christ is the living word of God, and the Bible is the written word of God. When I'm reading the Bible, when you are reading the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading the words of Jesus, the word of God, for he is the divine author of the entire Bible. It is the same supernatural power in Jesus' words that framed the universe and gave life. It's that same power and authority that actually resides in the words of the Bible. Just as that one word, come, to Peter, was endued with power because it was spoken by the living word, Jesus. Listen, folks, so the Bible is also endued with that same authority and power. And the Bible is God's gift to us while we wait for the return of Jesus. The Bible is God's gift of his word to us, and what we do with his word is entirely up to us. And when we, with the spirit of faith, apply, obey, and believe the teachings, promises, and wisdom of the Bible, then we start to walk like Jesus. Instead of the wind and the waves buffeting us, we trample upon the serpents and scorpions. We start to buffet back the wind and the waves. But if we approach the Bible with a blasé attitude of unbelief, then we have nothing left to lift us up over the crashing waves that will certainly come our way. Indeed, God declares in the Bible, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Faith in God's word saves you, but unbelief in God's word sinks you. In conclusion, for a lot of people, that's the best part of the sermon. Amen. People's two favorite words in church, in conclusion. I remember many years ago, some of you know this story, but when I was a 10-year-old boy, I used to go to church in Cloverdale, Belmont. It's Nations Church now. And many years ago, I was there, and I remember walking down the aisle, and suddenly, it was just after the service, this very old lady, and when you're a 10-year-old boy, often you're scared of old ladies. There's just something scary about old ladies. And she just put her arm out, grabbed me by my waist, and pulled me in awkwardly into herself, and the face was coming close to mine. And my parents had told me that she was a very old lady, but my parents told me that she once was a missionary. And this dear saint of God, this dear woman, pulled me close and said to me, young man, make sure that you always dig into the word of God. And she said to me, if I would do that, then I would find true treasure for life. And I've never forgotten what she, I think it was a prophetic word, actually. Actually, now looking back, it's just occurred to me, that was a prophetic word. And she says, you'll find treasure in the word of God. And she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. And I just want to urge everybody here today to dig into God's word in the Bible. I get that we don't always understand everything about it. I get that. I get that it's got ancient customs. I get that. Don't let those things distract you and stop you from digging into the word of God. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with the Bible. Learn what the story's about. Just stay with it. You know, I used to work with a couple of guys down in Esperance who used to own a gold mine. And, you know, they were pretty wealthy. But they used to dig into their own gold mine, their own little private gold mine. But, you know, you get these people looking for gold on top, but the real wealth was down in the mine. Get to the rich vein. But to get to the vein, sometimes you got to shift a lot of dirt before you hit the gold. And that's what I'm saying. When you're reading your Bible, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And then one day, you hit that gold vein. You find treasure that money cannot buy. I'm actually right now urging you all to make sure you keep reading the Bible. I don't know if you've picked that up. And then, be like Peter. I'll finish with this. Be like Peter, who said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. When you read the Bible, say, Lord, just speak to me through your word today. And then there's going to be those times when you're reading your Bible and you just get ambushed by Almighty God. Suddenly a verse in the Bible just goes, boom, and it's like it was just written only for you. It was written all those thousands of years ago, but you, this is for me. This is me. Yeah, it is, because you're experiencing what Peter had. A specific word from God at a specific time for you, the specific person. And you need it. And then when you get that word like that from God, it just fires up faith on the inside. And you find yourself, your faith unleashed, and you're walking on those waters. You're walking on the waves, and they're not having an effect upon you. That's the best I got today, everybody. That's all I've run out. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we just thank you for your presence right now. Lord, we just love you to bits. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you just ambush us with your love and your mercy. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today. I just pray as they dig into their Bibles, even when they read bits of the Bible that doesn't make sense. Father, I pray as they dig into their Bibles, Lord, I just pray verses will leap out at them. I pray, Lord, we pray for those rhema words of God to come to Real Life Church, to each one of us in Jesus' name. But Lord, we also thank you for your grace today. Thank you, Lord, that when we do take our eyes off you, and we do start to sink. We thank you for that wonderful prayer that we could pray. Lord, save me. And we thank you, Lord, you reach down and you pull us out of those waters. And we call that, Lord, amazing grace. And maybe today as we finish off this service, you're sunk. Something's pulled you down. Maybe you're struggling with fear, phobias, that they're bad things. Maybe you made some poor choices and right now you're in the middle of those consequences and you got that sinking feeling. You're going under. Well, today you could pray, Lord, save me. And he's going to reach down and pull you out of those waters. You're going to experience miracles today. Sure, you still need to keep reading your Bible. Absolutely. But right now, you need a miracle from God. And so, if that's you today saying, yeah, I need a miracle. I need to be forgiven my sins. I need God to pull me out of my situation. Would you pray for me? Because I'm